seen Leah?
Haven't we had this conversation?
Well, you know, I've booked dinner for tonight.
Yeah, love, I got your message.
Oh, well, there's no point in having it if she's not there. I still haven't heard back from her.
Oh, that's not like Leah. Have you tried Justin?
Oh, yeah, no, I'll try now.
Just a bottle of water, thanks, Irene. No rush, I got plenty of time.
Oh, lucky for some.
You're on my list.
Well, I'm on a list, it's promising.
So on the surf club calendar, it says the buggy's due for service, but it doesn't say when it was last done.
Why would you need to know that?
Oh, you're looking at the new surf club manager.
What? Has Alf lost his mind? That's a bit nepotistic, isn't it? You're completely underqualified for that job. Did the committee pass this?
John, pull your head in, will you? Rue's doing you a favour.
Yeah, I took the job so Dad didn't have to advertise for it.
Yeah, only until you wake up to yourself and want it back.
I don't want my job back.
Well, then why the carry-on about who's running the joint? Fair income, you're not fooling anyone except yourself.
In the office, in the desk, bottom left-hand drawer, there's a red folder with all the vehicle details in it.
Great. Rue's not the only one who's looking out for you, you know. Dana caught up with that banjo bloke to try and talk him into dropping the complaint against you.
Well, how did that go?
Well, he said he accepted your apology.
That's what I've been saying.
Maybe I could give his dad a ring, you know, that Simon bloke, try and explain.
Bad idea.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Well, we've put the world to rights. How are you, Sophie? Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. Are you?
Yes, good, thank you. No Chernobyl dogs this week. Don't worry.
Oh,
don't worry.
Okay. Good, good. Nice to hear.
We are fresh off. I'll use the word trippy, home and away.
Yeah.
Tail end this week. Ooh la la. Ooh la la indeed.
Enjoyed that. It was a bit of a slow burn this week, wasn't it? I struggled a bit with, you know, probably Monday and Tuesday's episode. I was a bit like, are we going anywhere with this stuff? You know, like, why are we all, where's this going? And then towards the end, it really ramped up, didn't it? The end of the week. I was like, ooh. Oh, I'm excited now. I want to see where this storyline's going.
You were texting me going, this is nuts. I was like, I've not watched it yet.
No. I was like, oh my God. I didn't know whether to like, just be like, this is brilliant. Because I love a terrible thriller. Love it. You know, and it was shot a bit like that, wasn't it? So I was a bit like, I do love this. But at the same time, it's really funny because it's Leah. And we know her. And we know that Justin is not scary. And it's not a thriller. And I loved it. I love this kind of stuff. It's so good.
Yeah. It was delicious. It was.
Yes.
And how was your week? How was your Valentine's Day?
I did some laundry. How about you?
Not quite as bad. I tell you what, though, there was an extra episode of Coastal News out on Valentine's Day. I did notice,
and I listened to that. Yes, our couples, best Aussie couples in soapland.
We're up against it. We're not going to lie. We're up against it, aren't we?
We're the underdogs. Guys, if any of you listening actually like Homers and like these couples, please vote, because we haven't got a hope in hell's chance of winning this against all the Neighbours fans. So, you know, do us a solid.
Big names. So do you know what? We're here for the fun and we're sharing the home and away to people who don't normally listen, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But yes, every vote matters.
Like, literally, every single one.
We've not got a lot of faith on this round, but it's you're right, best couple battle round with the Neighbourhood rewatch, JK and Adam. Go and listen to it. It's the episode before this one. It is a good one, actually. It's nice. We talked about some characters, I think, that we've not mentioned yet in these battles. Mm. I listened back to it and enjoyed it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah.
At the very least, if we lose, at least it was an enjoyable episode. So.
Yeah.
But do go and vote. I will put the link in this episode description as well to save your little minds having to go find the link. But it is all over our socials because we need to vote, because we're going to struggle. But never mind. Right, this week on Home and Away, Do you want your headlines?
I do.
Brace yourself.
Uh-oh.
The Surf Club crumbles without John Palmer.
Ah.
Family values are hard to come by for Eden and Levi. Flick and Cash receive an eviction notice. And Leah's paranoia grows as she turns on Justin.
No! Does she turn him on or does she turn on him?
Who knows? Who knows?
It's back to first look again.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, okay, so I don't think I quite have enough content for another minute of lyric this week, which isn't a bad problem to have, actually. But in a nutshell, Kirby's got loads of ideas for the band, but goes and sort of asks Justin to realise them, basically. And he's got a lot on his plate. And this 8,000 she got from the sale of this song, minus whatever she spent on champagne at Salt. She needs an extra 4K on top to even book this studio time. So she's thinking of ways, isn't she, to make some extra money. She wants to book in some dates. And he's saying, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever. And he's too busy to talk. And she just goes with him to work, bothers him there whilst he's fixing cars. And that's pretty much it. Did you have anything to add about lyric?
No, just the fact that I'm still astonished that she's been in the band for 20 years and still doesn't really know how to make anything happen. Like, should we do a gig? Should we write a song? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then when he was like, I'm busy, she was like, okay, I'll just go hang out with Marley, Rose and Xander then. So none of the ideas that she had, she actually went and did herself.
Strange, isn't it? And why is she? She's the only one driving the band as well. Very strange.
Yeah, but she's doing a really awful job of it. So where is the rest of them?
Preoccupied manager won't help.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah.
But yeah. They've been in this game a lot longer than Justin. She should have her own ideas and her own, you know what I mean? Get off her own bum and do something.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Right, should we go over to John? John is looking relaxed there on his deck chair. He's enjoying his newfound freedom since quitting the Surf Club last week.
Did you see what he was reading?
The Naval.
It said Naval, and then the second line was G. So everyone on Facebook is saying it's Naval Gazing. Because obviously there's like a double entendre, isn't there? Because he was in the Navy, but then he's also literally navel gazing because he's got nothing better to do now. He's quit his job.
Thank you, the powers that be.
Yeah.
These things aren't going to notice. There's loads of this stuff lately. Loads of it. Yes. Navel gazing there. Very, very well done. Very well done. Dana turns up for her bronze medallion. But it's been cancelled, hasn't it? Because of the whole man bun gate. And she's a bit perplexed by that. She didn't receive the message. And Alf's, he's run ragged trying to mop up after John's quitting of his job as manager of the Surf Club. Between the flags. We put a video
up. I know. I think we put two. There's only about 50 metres of between the flags.
I know. Not a lot. I know, yeah. The rip must have been wild.
Just this tiny bit of sea you can swim in. You can barely get a breaststroke going there.
Well, Facebook told me that's our most popular reel ever.
Is it?
Yeah. I've not uploaded that many reels, but yeah, to Facebook. But yeah.
Okay, that's what Facebook likes. Okay, it's not written that in the book. Facebook likes between the flags. Yeah, angry.
Yeah, he's patrolling the beach. He's patrolling the deliveries. He's patrolling the surf club. He's trying to be there for everybody. He's realizing.
Shut the juice bar.
John, shut the juice bar because someone called in sick. Poor Marley ends up with half the job load at the beginning of the week. Anyway, Maz learns about it. You know, John you know, she's back from a holiday, by the way, and she goes over and speaks to him and says, you know, you love the surf club. What are you going to do? Sit at home, sit in salt, eating toast? And he's like, yeah, I'm sure he'd managed to do that quite well, Maz. And in the end, so remember, you know, Dana's missed this class. She sits down and asks what kind of teacher he is to Maz, you know. And in a nutshell, she comes up with this idea that she's going to message, because they all swap numbers, she's going to message Banjo, aka Man Bun, and sort of try and sort of fight his corner and try and get the complaint withdrawn. He gets the wrong idea and thinks it's a date right from the beginning, which I don't blame him really.
No.
Turns out Banjo's a bit of a hipster.
Mm-hmm.
He's all for the planet, he's all for saving, he's all for world peace, doesn't really want any of this fuss. His dad has sort of taken it and run with it. We've all met those kinds. He's got that little push bank.
Oh dear.
I said to you, I think I like Banjo now. I thought this was really... can we have Banjo permanently or what? What? This made me like Banjo a bit.
Did it? Not sure I've got strong feelings on him either way, to be honest. He's all right, but
hair
I didn't
down,
love him.
Hair up.
Hair up, even though it's man bun. And I didn't really want the man bun, but hair down was just... No, yeah. I think he needs to shave it off, actually, to be honest. But there we go. I don't know what I feel about it. Are you liking him then?
Well, I softened a bit, you know. He came to the diner thinking he was in with a chance with Dana. Yes. And yeah, you know, and he's all excited about that and, you know, wants to get to know her, and she's actually there just to try and get John off the hook. And even then he sort of calls her out on it and tries to leave, and she chases after him and apologises. He's a nice bloke, and he says, "Oh, all right, you know, you know, he wasn't an idiot, and just gave her what for and pedalled off into the moonlight." You know, he accepted the apology. He seemed like a decent young man.
Yeah.
My first impressions were quite the opposite, so I was quite surprised.
I can see the difference, the contrast between how he was in the lesson when he was winding John up.
Yeah.
And then now he's...
Turns out he hates toxic environments, he says. Yeah,
no. Oh, this is why I wasn't sure about him, because I liked what he was saying, but then it was coming from a very sort of privileged white man.
I know what you mean. Yeah. But I mean, he can't help his race, can he? As much as the...
I know. Or the fact that his dad's, you know, mega rich or whatever. He's trying to do his own thing, I guess. Break the mould from... Yeah. And obviously we were taught that he was very different from his dad, so maybe he is trying to break the generational curse, I guess. So,
and they did agree to be friends, so I'm hoping that's not the last of him, because I think that could be interesting. You know, if they developed a courtship.
She does need a friend, doesn't she, other than her sister, because she hasn't really got a friendship group at the moment, so
Yeah, his dad sounds like a piece of work, and that, the antagonist or whatever, maybe in an ideal world, we get to see their dynamic together. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Although I suspect we're probably not going that way. We sort of had it with Marley and his mum, didn't we? And it was only limited. So.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
I suspect we probably won't go there. But yeah, a Banjo, I'm going to give you a chance, mate. Yeah. Right, Mac, though, over at the hospital, she's got good feedback about Levi, hasn't she? She's loving Levi's bedside manner. Levi learns that Remy's in town.
Yes.
And is like, ooh, it's not just Eden then, the whole blaming banda here. Mm-hmm. And says they've got a lot of catching up to do. And because Eden's gone over, you remember, Eden's gone over, and they've had this sort of moment in the hospital, and it's like, oh my God. And we found out, didn't we, that Eden and Levi haven't spoken since she was 15, because he took Dad's side during a nasty divorce of their parents. And that's the short, the long and tail of what we know, really, at the minute. So they agree to go for this walk and talk, don't they? Love a walk and talk on Home and Away. Everything gets solved. Not this time, though. And it was a bit awkward.
Yeah.
I'd probably expect from siblings who haven't seen each other since their teen years. I need to mention mustache. I'm sorry. It was there at the hospital. Then it wasn't there on the walk. And then it came back again.
I just remember you texting this to me. Like, what's going on with his mustache? You know what? You weren't the first person to say that, because I'd seen someone else, I think it was on Twitter, talking about his facial hair. And oh, yeah. I noticed it as well, because there was one scene where he'd got a bit of like stubble, I guess. Even if you could call it that. I don't know whether it was even as much as stubble in one scene. And then the next scene he had like a beard. I was like, where's the beard come from? And then he's talking to Cash. I was like, I don't understand. When he was with Eden, it wasn't as bearded. And then when he was talking to Cash, it was like a beard. I was like, I'm sure this is meant to be the same day. I was so confused.
Oh, it was jarring, at least, wasn't it?
He must go through a lot of razors. It's like Teen Wolf. That was dumb.
Bless him. Obviously filmed on different days. Someone's allowed that to go out. Oh, bless. There probably wasn't time to reshoot. But yes, the mustache disappeared and then reappeared before our very eyes. But it took me right out of the storyline. So I couldn't even tell you what Eden and he said to each other.
I had to watch it twice, because the first time I was just too like, he's there, he's gone.
Well, tell me, Sophie, what did they say? Because all I was thinking was, where's his stash gone?
Oh dear, it's too funny. I love how we get hung up on the tiniest little detail and then it totally derails the whole podcast. It's hilarious. Okay, I'll try and make it as quick as possible and painless as possible. So, as we've said before, they haven't seen each other for years. He was 18-ish, she was 15-ish. He went off to live with Dad because Dad and Mum had split up. Dad had an affair. For some reason, the kids had to take a side. I don't know why they couldn't see both parents, but they had to take a side. He took Dad's side. He hasn't seen Eden for all that time, but he knew all about Lyric. He said, actually, that he used it as anaesthetic in his surgery. He didn't quite say that, but he did say he played the Lyric album when he was in surgery. And I thought, thank God the patients are, you know, under poor patients. As if you're not going through enough having heart surgery, do you know what I mean? So he's
all of that.
It's not appropriate, is it? It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Bit much. But he said, and she said, how did you know about the album? And he goes, Mom told me. And I thought, oh, and then he went, and she's really proud of you, and so is Dad. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. Because last week I was kind of not defending Eden, but I could see her point of view, because I was thinking, if she's gone to bat for Mum, if she's out of loyalty for Mum, has taken a side and has kept that grudge going all this time and not seen her brother, and his mum's doing the same thing, I could kind of understand it, because she's trying to be on her mum's side. But no, Mum is in contact with Levi as recently as the album, which was last year.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, why is Eden the only one that's still holding this grudge if everyone else has kind of got past it? It makes no sense to me this week. It made sense to me last week, because I thought it was just a blind loyalty thing.
I'm looking at this thinking there's got to be more to this that we don't know.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
I think if he was like, oh, how's Mum? She won't take my calls or whatever. I think I'd have kind of gone along with it, because I think Mum would probably, I'd be calling Mum names, but I'd be understanding why Eden would be going along with it. You know, she's just trying to be loyal to her mum and what her mum's, but her mum's talking to Levi, like there's no issue there. So it's like, why is Eden's not the one that got cheated on? Levi's not the one that cheated. Why have they fallen out then if everyone else has made up? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, that you're right. You're right. If Mum sounds like she's been in the middle of something here, it just seems very extreme. And I don't. I've always put Eden as quite chill. It just seems a little odd to me. Like this can't just be it. Do you know what I mean?
Unless there's something else about Levi that we don't know. You know, maybe the dad thing was the last straw, and maybe that, you know, they didn't get on as siblings. But still, I think. Like you said last week, it's been enough time now. Wouldn't you just? I don't know. You haven't seen them for God knows how many years. 20 years, 15 years. I don't know how old they are meant to be, but you just time to let go. I think is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it seems a bit petty. If that's just it, in my opinion. That's just an opinion. Before the lynch mob come. Now, Cash, I mean, what doesn't help? I mean, Cash compares it all to him and Flick. Oh, God.
No one's sibling relationship is like Flick and Cash.
No. Is it? That is strange.
Special relationship, as they say.
And then later, Cash runs into Levi at the hospital, doesn't he, and says, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble here, but I'm going to go for a beer with you. Eden walks in on that, and there's a big drama about that. So to me, Eden's really overreacting. If I'm just taking it on face value, you know, on what we know at the moment. So I'm waiting for something else to come out here. There's a reason why she's got this deeper feeling of hatred towards him.
There has to be, because at the moment he looks like the you know, the very ethical, nice, charming doctor. Couldn't do more for Mac if he tried. You know, we're not being shown a bad person, are we, from what we're seeing on screen? I'm not getting that impression that we're meant to be thinking he's a bad person at the moment.
No, absolutely.
So I wonder if there's something else that we don't know. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out, I suppose. We'll find out. Cash is not, that's not the only thing he's got to contend with this week. He's also heard via Flick that he's got an eviction notice on the house. And he and Flick need to be out. You remember, we spoke a bit about this because we were talking, weren't we, on First Look last week, that Tane's got the lease, and we're a bit like, oh no, you know, is he not paying the rent or something? But it turns out he has, but he's giving it up, the lease. And they've got until the end of the month. Cash says, oh, it's a mistake, don't worry about it. And Flick's like, he is cutting me out of his life. And I'm like, Flick, you need to start coming to terms with this now, girl. You know, at the stage where you need to start getting to some form of acceptance about what's happening here. But she's going to have to be dragged kicking and screaming to it, isn't she? Cash does call the agent, and they say, look, you can take the lease on if you want, understand the situation, just let me know. So Flick's like, you know, this is, she uses the word gutless, actually, like he can't even speak to me. It's gutless. So how can he do this to us? So she goes off to see him, doesn't she? Much as Cash tries to stop her. And he says, look, let's make a fresh start. Being honest, this is Cash I'm talking about, not Tane. You know, let's make a fresh start. Let's give the lease up, get a new house. You are never going to get over this bloke while you are in his house. Yes. And I thought, yes, Cash, you are spot on here. You need to start making her think about the future without him rather than just her stuck in this merry-go-round of the mess that is the current. Start making her think about the next thing, what's coming next, what does the future look like? And it looks like it might make her think, but the next day, you know, she sleeps on it. The next day she's like, I'm not moving, you go if you want. But for her, it's all about the hope. And for as long as she's still in that house, he might come home. And I just thought, let it go, girl. Let it go.
Yeah.
They end up staying, don't they? Because Cash is sort of like, well, I'm not going anywhere without you. You know, we'll do the lease together. But I don't know. She does eventually track Tane down and they talk. Oh my god.
Which is what you wanted for 2 weeks. Are you satisfied?
I don't think I am.
Oh no.
Sorry to be awkward. I'm so glad they talked. Yeah. I really am. But I'm not sure Felicity was being completely transparent. No. I mean, I'm in two minds about it. I don't know about you.
Tell me your thoughts.
Well, because she put that box together, didn't she? You know,
yeah.
And it was all, I feel like she was just trying. She was presenting herself a certain way to try and make him think, look, I am good. Like, remember the good in me. And then she presents him with this box and then watches him from the balcony open it and turn the photo over whilst he's talking to
Harper.
Mm-hmm. She had to be there, didn't she? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it just upsets her even more. And I'm just like, her motive for that conversation wasn't, it wasn't like, let's talk, let's speak. It was, love me again. Love. It was about herself.
Yes. It wasn't
like, I'm not saying it wasn't genuine, but it just didn't feel like.
It felt like a bit of a gameplay, didn't it? I think that's where I felt. I felt a bit uncomfortable because it wasn't like an apology or what can we do to fix this, or, you know, is it really over? There wasn't any of that. It was just like you say, trying to invoke some feelings that he had for her, but get them in a way that requires very little effort. Like just putting some knickknacks in a box isn't really making that much of an effort, is it, to fix what the actual problem is?
Yeah, and from his side, he's already moved. He's past it.
Yeah.
He's not looking at the photo, but the one of all his family, he starts explaining to Harper. And in her defence, like, she blows up at Harper, doesn't she, at this point?
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, I know exactly what you're doing. You know, rack off. And it's like, actually, in Flick's defence, she's not wrong there. Harper.
Well, I don't know. I felt uncomfortable with Tarnay showing it to Harper. I felt kind of, you know, that conversation he had. He didn't have to open that box and dump it all on the table and talk her through it. I just felt he's told Harper, and he keeps saying, we're strangers, we'd hardly know each other. And then in the next minute, he tells her really intimate details of his marriage and about Felicity, who she doesn't know. And I just find it really uncomfortable. And I think Tarnay, I know he needs a friend, and I was saying a couple of weeks ago, he needs a friend. But I don't know whether I'm very comfortable with this friendship.
No, I know I'm not. I'm coming down on that side. I really don't like this friendship at all. I think Harper is looking a little bit, dare I say, predatory.
Yeah. Like,
the second
red flags, yeah.
She's not wasted time. She's circulating. She's at every single class there is. How she's paying for them? Yeah. Rightly said on a text message earlier today.
How could she afford a personal trainer when she hasn't started a new job? I don't understand. I know.
Do you mean this job that she keeps telling us?
the job that she's. I'm a social worker. Of course I'm annoying. I don't know any social workers.
Social worker, of course I'm overpaid. sorry if there's social workers listening. But you are overpaid. No. No, I don't like it all. I'm saying predatory. The second he's come on the market, she has circled. I'm sorry. And I don't blame Felicity for thinking, for putting two and two together when she sees them like that. She is never never leaves his side at the moment.
I know.
And he's in a vulnerable position. He's going through this mad breakup. He's heartbroken.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not going to make the right decisions at the right time at the moment. And as someone in her profession ought to know better, in my opinion. And she's not like that with Felicity. She's not that involved in Felicity's well-being or anybody else's, for that matter, with anything else they've got going on. It is not nice, actually. And she's really gone right down in my estimation.
And I'll tell you the bit that bothered me, and I don't know whether I'm overanalyzing it, so I want to get your opinion on this. So, you know, when she went into the diner, went into the diner, and she's talking to Irene, and Ruth says something like, are you okay now after Flick had a go at you? And Irene's like, what happened? And Harper's like, oh, you know, it's okay, the tensions are running high, blah, blah, blah. And Irene says to her, you be careful, doll, because Flick can be a handful at the best of times. And then Harper was like, And then the next morning, she was supposed to have a personal training session with Tane before her new job or whatever. And she turned up and she said, I think it's a good idea if we keep apart. You know, everything that happened with Flick yesterday, I don't want to get involved. I think we're supposed to take it that she's a nice person and she's decided to back off. But I saw it differently. I don't know. I'm really sus about this because I feel like she took that information that Irene gave her, like Flick's a nightmare, drama queen, meltdown, all that stuff.
Oh,
and
she's
gone, I'll be the opposite.
Oh.
I'll be really calm and I'll be really adult and I'll back off and I won't be clingy and needy. And then I'll tell him, you know what I mean? And then what happened? Treat him mean, keep him keen. He comes running back and says, be my friend.
You're right. Oh, my God. How did I not see that, Sophie?
He got my back up because I was like, don't be one of those girls. Do not be one of those girls. Come on.
You're right. Be the anti-Flick.
Yeah, I think she's using it to sort of make herself seem like a more stable, more, I don't know, adult, more interesting, or I don't know what the word is, but like just I'm the opposite of her. I know you don't want her anymore, but I'm the opposite now. Look at me. Yeah. I don't know. She's a look at me.
Oh my God, you're right. It's more
cat than it is. She's a pick me.
Do you think
this
is going to happen, isn't it?
I don't know. I have got a bad feeling. I don't know where we're going with it. Because at the moment, as it stands, you know, she went, I don't think we could be friends, and walked off. And he's gone, but that's what I want in the world. As soon as she said that we can't have it, he wants it more than anything, doesn't he? And yeah. I think she's done it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely spot on. Oh, good Lord. Good grief.
I know. What a mess.
God save Ireland.
And what's Dana going to say? Because she was the one that had the eye on him.
Well, that's true. Do you know what? I'm going to say it now. This time next week when we're on the podcast, something's going to have happened.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm convinced of it now. You've said that. Convinced.
I thought it was me being a bit sensitive and a bit
I can see it. I can see it plain as day now. You've explained it to me. You're right. That wasn't her saying, I'm causing trouble. That's her saying, I'm the better one. I'm the better option.
It does feel like that, yeah.
Oh, no.
I
don't like her. I don't like her. I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it now.
Yeah, I've got...
I'm a social worker. Of course you're not going to like me.
Oh, no. I don't know. I've got my eye on her. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping I've just been a bit, you know.
Right, Rue, she wants to organise a girls' night to celebrate Lee's engagement. Isn't happening.
Oh dear, awkward.
Leah's off grid though. She's not answering her phone. She's
up the Baron Joey lighthouse or whatever.
Excuse me.
She's up the lighthouse. Gone for a walk, isn't she? Gone for a trek.
And that's a good day, isn't it? It's a good day. It's a good day out. Justin hangs up on Rue when he's ringing her, when she's ringing him. I'm like, where is she? Everyone's getting sus. Something's not quite right here with Justin and Leah. And she goes to the garage, does Rue, and is like, look, I'm trying to organise a bloody meal. Where is she?
And he's like, what's wrong with your car? I've got nothing. I'm just here to harass you. Poor Justin, he's the first time in ages he's gone to work. He's had Kirby and Rue pecking his head.
Rue's there. I've paid a deposit for the table.
To my neighbour.
Forced, isn't he, to say, look, Leah's caught engagement. I do love as well how he never says the engagement's off. It's always, Leah said she doesn't want to get married. It's always...
Yeah, Leah's not ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always Leah. It's, you know, it's not like the wedding's off sort of thing, which I think is interesting. But not that interesting. Anyway, so he has to tell her, doesn't he, you know, what's going on. And Rue ends up tracking Leah down later on back at home, and she's like, you know, are you okay? She checks in, basically, which is very nice of Rue. We slag Rue off to high heaven here at Coastal News, but I thought that was nice of her to, you know, hours later, pitch of night, to still be banging on Leah's door, making sure she's actually there. So credit where it's due. She was being a good friend in that moment. And shame she's not like that, Marilyn. But anyway, and basically Leah, she's like, you know, I spoke to Justin. You know, he's told me everything because I had planned you a surprise engagement party. And Leah has this yet another strong reaction, snaps at Rue. And it's like, why are you talking about me behind my back? Why is he saying these things? He's gossiping about me, my own partner. And you're just like, this is just spiraling, isn't it? And it's so much so that she drives up to the garage in a fit of rage.
In her pajamas.
Behind the wheel again.
Oh, no.
She just run a light and, you know, nearly killed someone. At an intersection, but you know, she's up there in a fit of rage, has this massive Barney with him at the garage, accuses him of all his gossiping and talking about her. And you know, he explains, I had to tell her because she was organizing a party for her, and I wouldn't want to put you through that. You know what I mean? Like, it was going to be so awkward if the, you know, what, why you wouldn't have an engagement party when you're not engaged. And ultimately, this row ends up spilling back at home. He seems to chase her back home. Basically, she says, there's going to be no wedding, no marriage. I don't want to marry you ever. This is messy now.
Yeah. Yeah, it got way out of hand here, didn't it? But there's signs at this point that she's not right, isn't there?
Yeah, that is true. Because
when she was talking to Rue at the door, I was thinking, is it me? Because I was watching it quite late at night, and I thought, is it me? Or is, like, the camera work a bit funny? I'm feeling a bit, like, dizzy. But then I realised, when as it progressed in the week, that we're supposed to be feeling that Leah's feeling like the world is a bit wobbly.
Yeah.
But it hadn't really started properly then, had it? It was just a little bit of a wobble when she was talking to Rue at the door, and I thought, oh, is it my eyes, or is this all a bit shaky? But, you know.
I guess what we're supposed to take from this is she is getting a little bit more insular, isn't she? And that's what you're talking about helps depict that, doesn't it? And she's feeling like the outside world are all against her, and she's getting very paranoid of anything and anyone. I agree with you. This camera work, I mean, Home and Away is good for this stuff, and I lap it up. I must say, I do lap this stuff up. The next morning, you know, she's gone over to the garage, and she's sort of, she's done a bit of a check yourself before you wreck yourself moment, hasn't she? And she's gone up there, thought, you know, I'll speak to him and apologise to him. And she overhears him on the phone. And this is, this is like the penny drop moment, because we're getting her perspective, funny camera, funny noise, you know, all the voices and everything. So
Justin's voice. Justin's voice is like dropped several registers. It's like, it's very deep, isn't it? When she's hearing him, like this voice that's coming over the phone. Oh dear. Yeah.
Very well done, I must say.
Yeah.
This is all voices in her head. You know,
it's like a hallucination, isn't it? Like she's seeing him talking on the phone, but what he's saying is not what she's hearing. And she's hearing like a different. It's almost like a scarier version of Justin, isn't it?
That's right. And we've got this blurry, out-of-focus, fisheye camera just sort of show, and that really does,
yeah,
show you that she's in her head, you know, yeah, it's all internal. Yeah. And she thinks she hears him saying, "The end is near. We're gonna get her. We're gonna get her."
Because of course, this is the slogan of Eaten Over, isn't it? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she rushes home and packs a bag.
packs a whole drawer. Yeah.
Panic.
Love it.
Yeah, he comes home and says, "What are you doing? You know, Irene and Leah, I was looking for you. Irene and Leah said you came to the garage." Of course, you know, she did, but he doesn't know that. And she's like, "Oh, I spilled a coffee and I'm here getting ready. Bye, bye." Trying to get away from him.
Do you want a sandwich?
She thinks he's part of the cult.
Yeah.
So this is beyond her, just, you know, a bit of PTSD, not coping well with the cult kidnapping. Mm. She's lost control of this entirely, hasn't she?
Well, she screams at Theo, doesn't she, next? Because Justin goes back out. She convinces him to go for a surf or something, doesn't she, to get him out of the house. And then the minute the door's shut, she turns to Theo and she's like, "Eaten Over, they've got to Justin." And he's like, "What?"
Poor he didn't have that on his bingo card, did he?
He did not. Oh, I've really felt for him this week, bless him. He's really got the world on his shoulders. And it's like, none of this is his problem, but he's taken it all on.
Good job those shoulders have doubled in size.
They have, the last couple of years. He knew he needed them. That's what it is.
Jeepers indeed. It gets even worse though, doesn't it? Because tonight, or last night, if you listen to this on Saturday, she's attempted to leave. Justin has become privy to her knowing he's at Eaten Over because Leah has presented herself to the police and wants him arrested. She's down at YCPD and she's saying Justin's part of a cult, and Rose is like, "Come what now?"
Thank God she got to speak to a copper she actually knows, because if you went to another copper that didn't know Justin and Leah, they probably would have took her on face value and investigated it, but
arrested him. Luckily, well, Rose has been part of the struggle, the post struggle, hasn't she?
She's seen her lose it.
She knows what's gone on, but she didn't quite think it was this bad, and obviously Leah told her to keep her nose out, so she did. Do you know what I mean? And so Theo sort of fills Justin in about what's going on. He's at the police station. She's absolutely freaking out. We've got all this fun camera work going on, and Rose's Eaten Over voice is also legendary, can I say? she doesn't trust anybody, Leah. She thinks they're all out to get her. Very well done. Thank you so much, the show, because this was such an enjoyable episode. I think I said to you, this is trippy as fuck. Like, I'm going to have to watch this again. I had to watch it twice.
It was really good. It was good. But I think the diner scene pipped it for me more than the police station.
Really?
I loved the, you know, when he's at the door.
This is after the police station. She says she's gonna take herself to the hospital, but she doesn't. She goes and barricades herself in the diner.
And then Justin's looking for her. So Justin says, "Right, Theo, you go to the house, I'll go and check the diner." And then he looks through the window, doesn't he? And he realises that diner is shut, but someone must be in there because there's chairs and tables up against the door, isn't there, when he looks through the window?
Yeah.
So he's like, "I know you're in there," but that, "I know you're in there" to someone that's paranoid and freaking out is not the best thing to say. So then she's on the floor, like, heavy breathing, shaking. And then the scene of the whole episode for me was he was trying to rattle the door open, even though it's locked, you know, just to give it a rattle, because, you know, it might unlock if you do that.
Oh, that's horror films, isn't it?
Where do you keep your crowbars, Si?
Well,
because for some reason, there is a plant pot outside of the diner. Stop front door, it, I can't. which Justin just kind of, I was like, what's he doing? He just kind of like delves his hand into this plant pot and pulls out this metal bar, doesn't he? And manages to crack the door open with it. I was like, of course that's where you keep. I'm sorry, yeah. That lost me.
Just invite them up. Why do you just throw?
I just didn't understand that bit at all. Oh no. I was like, why? Why? He could have shouldered that door, or he could have thrown something through the window and smashed it, really. But he had a crowbar to hand, so he didn't need
the first thing that came to mind. Was
stashed it in that plant pot.
I know, I'll look in the flower pot for a crowbar. Oh, there's a crowbar.
He just put his hand straight into the soil. I was like, what are you doing? Digging up a plant? How's that? I'm going to get the... Oh, crowbar. Oh, that did make me laugh.
It was. It so, was funny. But it's just funny.
I loved it. I loved the whole thing because it was like a horror film. You know, she's in the diner. He's at the door. The light in the shadow. The camera work. The close-ups of Leah's face where, you know, you can tell she's just paranoid and, like you say, trippy. I love the whole thing. And then obviously she's like, as he's kind of breaking through the... If you're Leah and you're paranoid, this would be terrifying because he's kind of smashing through the door and then his face kind of appears like a who's Justin kind of thing, doesn't it? Through the gap. And then she just grabs the knife, doesn't she?
Yeah, so where we've left it...
If you're her, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah, you would be. I mean, yeah, you would absolutely be terrified, wouldn't you? I'd have definitely killed my parents. So we've left it on this big cliffhanger. She's waving a knife at him in the diner in the depth of the evening after he's crowbarred his way in. Blinking it. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't. This really escalated this week. Really escalated. From John Palmer sitting on the beach, you know, to this.
Yeah. We went places, didn't we?
Yeah.
Does what's happening here, is Leah getting sectioned? Does she need to go in?
She's going to end up next to Marilyn's daughter at this rate, I think.
Oh, good grief. Oh.
Isn't she? She's going to be roommates with the... what's her name? I've forgotten her name now.
I can remember.
Crestview Ladies. Whatever it was, yeah. Can't remember her name. It's gone out my brain, but yeah.
And Broken Hill, but I can't remember her name. You're right. She needs help, doesn't she? I think this is the biggest cry for it ever. I just hope she does not stab Justin on the way.
I know. I hope she's not been watching loads of videos of Is It Cake or whatever it is. You know when people make a cake and it looks like, is it a telephone or is it a cake? And then they cut it and they go, it's cake. I hope she doesn't think Justin's like, is it Justin or is it cake? He's toast. He's absolutely toast. If that cake slice goes through him, oh dear. No, I don't. Oh, I don't know. Well, they're not married, so he can't die.
That's true. That's true. Well, listen, the wedding is off. No marriage, no wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever. She said it. And eagle eyes amongst you here at UK Pace. We mentioned yesterday, the other day, Wednesday, was Valentine's Day. And if at Oz Pace the wedding was supposed to happen at Valentine's Day, I've not heard about any wedding happening on the old spoiler tag. So
that's true. Yeah.
We must mention as well about John. We were talking about John earlier and the whole quitting his job and, you know, the surf club's in a mess. But Rue has an idea this week that she... would, because Al's advertising for a new manager, and she's, why don't you give the job to me? I'm thinking, blinking heck, she's going to get out of bed for one day a week. to be fair, it was a nice gesture because she doesn't actually want the job.
No.
She is doing it as a placeholder, basically, for when John sees his senses and gets his job back. And so she goes for it. And Al gives her the job. John thinks it's very nepotistic. You said that as well, didn't you, last week?
I did, yeah.
And she basically tries to pull the place back together, you know, gets the juice bar open, even though there's no juice, but lots of gelato. Is this even legal? Can he just give the job to his daughter? Does he have to advertise it? Are we happy that he's got a job? Because Ruse...
Well, it's all very shaky. Yeah, it's all very shaky. Why has John Palmer got no notice period? He quit and he left the same day.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're going to walk out on your job, you're not going to work your notice, are you?
Yeah, but you should. It's in your contract.
Have you ever quit a job and not worked your notice? I have.
I've negotiated it down, but I've had to work some of my notice, yeah.
Oh, no, I went on my lunch and never went back on one of them.
Really? No. I had a four-month notice period on one and I got it down to two. So, yeah, I've always ended up working... 4 months.
We're the only one that could do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
There we go. 4 months.
Yeah.
I was very young. I was still in college and I was working in the evening. So, you know, and I wasn't being paid properly. So I said, I want reassurance by the time I get back off my break that it'll be done. And they didn't have it. So I said, see you later. I'm going for a bus. Never went back.
Did you have to give, what was the notice period in your contract for that one?
It was a month.
Was it? And you just walked out? Wow. Okay.
I didn't want a reference. Didn't want anything to do with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't pay me. Don't pay me anyway. I must be
a mug. I was either do the whole thing or I negotiate it to the point where I'm like, well, I need to start my new job and they want me in 2 months, so I'm going in 2 months, not in four.
Bit of garden leave or whatever. You're probably at a position place now though in your career where you can probably do that. But when you know when you're sort of doing casual work or you're sort of lower down the ladder.
Yeah. Like, I was still having to give a week when I worked in a restaurant as a waitress when I was like a teen, a very popular American restaurant. And I had to give a week's notice because I moved to Canada and I said, I'm moving to Canada. And they were like, well, you've still got to do a week. And I was like, oh, God. So I did my week. I'm just too good, aren't I?
What are you going to do if you don't turn up?
Come, I know. You know what I mean? That's true. I just follow the rules, side. Do what I'm told. I did a law degree. I follow the law.
You told me you were rock and roll.
I'm not at all. I'm very scared of getting caught and put in jail.
There's been a couple of times where if I've already had another job secured, I've not even bothered. I've just left.
Oh, I I've never been brave enough to do that. I've got the people pleasing thing, I think.
Yeah. I worked in a retail shop. And it was only the owners only owned two of them. And I worked with an ex flatmate and it all got a very difficult working scenario. We all fell out and it all got very difficult at work. So I called in sick. And I posted my notice. I posted my immediate termination letter, we'll call it, so that it arrived the next day when I was due back in.
Gosh.
Never went back. Never spoke to me. I just phoned in sick.
Wow. I don't have the balls to do that. You know that job I quit not last year but the year before, and absolutely hated it. And I just quit without a job, didn't I? When I first quit.
Yeah. And I was like, "What are you doing?"
I was just like, I've had my notice in. I've not got another job. I'll just find one. Well, I was planning to do my notice period for that, and that was 2 months. And in the end, they didn't accept my resignation and ended up staying, and they promised me stuff. Nothing happened. And then I did get another job, and then I handed my notice in, and I still worked my notice. I still worked my 2 months before I started my new job, even though I absolutely hated it, and I'd complained, and I put a complaint in against my manager. Still works the entire... I'm a mug, aren't I, basically? That's what we're learning.
Yeah. If I had another job already secured and, signed on the dotted line, no way I'm working. Not a chance. I'm turning. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm taking a leaf out of your book next time because my notice period in my current job is 4 months, so...
Absolutely, F that. If you've got a job and you... Well, if you can afford it, you can afford to not work for a couple of months, what are you doing working? Absolutely not. Yeah. What can they do?
Yeah, true.
Back here. Well, I'm already leaving. Well,
They can sue you for breach of contract, but you know. There we go. Yeah.
It's not going to happen, though, is it?
It's unlikely. Yeah.
sue me for 2 months' wages then. Do you know what I mean?
It's
a bit different depending, like, it might be a bit different in your particular job nowadays because you know, there's only so many people. Do you know what I mean? It's not like the maths, it's not like they can just, oh, someone can fill it next week sort of thing, is it?
No, we've, so you, we've got a job vacancy that's a year going for someone to do my job. So
that's a bit different. But like, if you were in the job, like with your masses, if I was a manager of a surf club and anyone could do it, but like, yeah, see you later. Ta-ra. God's sake.
But not everyone knows how to make the Polaris work. Come on. That's just, well, that's a key skill.
I should not even charged it.
And left the lights on all night. Rookie error. Come on. Yeah.
No juice, but all gelato.
No fruit. No fruit, no juice bar. Come on. Basic.
So she's muddling her way through. I'm not being funny. She has organised events at the last minute and pulled it off. That girl knows how to organise things.
Golf
she
tournament.
Can do it. Yeah. She can do it. So I feel like the club is in safe hands, really, once she gets to grips with everything's gone. She found the Bible. Now, you know this Bible?
Yeah.
I've seen this before, have we not? This is ringing a bell with me.
Before, when I think Alf was trying to do something, and then John presented him with the Filofax thing, whatever it is, binder.
Ah, so we have
it
seen
it. It was to do with the, wasn't it? It was to do with the Wi-Fi upgrade, I think.
Yes,
or something, or some kind of, or the lease.
We've definitely seen the Bible before, haven't we?
Was it the lease? You know, when they had that, the lease was up or something. We've had dramas before, surf club dramas before, and that Bible's been brought out the drawer. Bottom drawer of the desk before. Sure.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it? Yeah. So and so Ruse had this idea where we've left it. Ruse had this idea to show this Bible to John to remind him of how much
he invested. He only saw it last week, but he needs to be reminded of its existence. He put the thing together. He looked at it all the time, and yet their bright idea is to remind him that it exists.
I think he'll be back before we know it.
I hope so.
I thought it might have been back on by now, but they're gonna
he's made his point.
Yeah.
He's made his point.
Hopefully this whole banjo telling his dad, hopefully it can all meet somewhere in the middle where it's like we can get him teaching again, because I completely understand the rest of the job isn't very fulfilling, is it? Admin and whatnot.
Yeah.
Completely understand why he's standing his ground, and I feel for John. I've got a soft spot for him.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I've also got a bit of a soft spot for Xander this week. He's normally the butt of our jokes. he to me is the unsung hero of the week. I think he's being criminally overlooked at the moment. Did you see that scene where he tries to visit Mac? But she's off having tests, isn't she? And he's all like concerned about her. But then hears that he's got to go into work because Flick's got a drama and she's not showing in again. So he's sort of holding salt together, isn't he?
I
feel like he's not going to get recognition for that. And he wants to be there for Mac, but he's not getting the opportunity to be.
Yeah,
in an emotional sense, he's being there practically because he's keeping her business afloat.
Yes.
But he seems to have very little to do with anything, but seems to be the shining light of the scene this week for me.
Yeah, and I was a bit worried about, you know, when he did help, he basically saved Mac's life, didn't he? Let's be honest, he saved Mac's life, and when she had the heart attack and sent her off to hospital, and when he was watching the ambulance take her away, I did think, oh God, Xander's going to wobble, because, you know, he's very sensitive when he got attached to patients when he was a paramedic, but this wasn't any patient, this was his friend, his boss, his colleague. Yeah. So I thought, oh God, are we having a wobble here? And I thought it a couple of times. I've been watching him this week as well, when he wanted to watch that film. He just wanted to, hey, he had a day off finally, because he'd been working his socks off at Salt. He had a day off. And all he wanted to do was sit and watch his film at home. And he got turfed out because Marnie wanted to fuck his sister. So he turfed him out and sent him up to the hospital. And at that point, I looked at Xander and I thought, he needs to tell someone what's on his mind. He's in his head, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's worrying about Mac. He's worrying about what happened to her. I don't want him to spiral again. And I feel like we could be on the verge of another spiral. I'm hoping it's not that.
Do you think that could be the story here? Is there a story here? Are we reading too much into it?
Well, there was one line, I think it was Kirby. Kirby said something to him like, but they were all in Xander and Rose's flat. And it was Xander and Rose, Marley and Kirby. They've been hanging out for a while. And Kirby turned to Xander and went, oh, you've been really quiet. And he goes, oh, well, it's really hard to get a word in. And I thought, oh, is that, should we pick up on the fact that he's been quiet? Is there something going on here that we should be noticing? Or, and then the next scene, he was like, oh, I'm going to watch a film, quite happy about it. And then they were like, oh, could you go to the hospital so that we couldn't have sex, basically, is what happened.
Yeah.
I was like, and then he got to the hospital, and then he's on his own, isn't he? Because Mac's not there, and he's like looking at an empty bed. And I thought, oh, here we go again. Like the patient stuff, losing the patient. I don't know. I didn't know whether to get concerned or not at this point.
Should we put a pin in that and think, and just sort of see where that goes? I feel like his sensitivity is what's making me, I wouldn't have batted an eyelid if I didn't know he was like that. Do you know what I mean?
But
I'm worried for him because he seems to worry about everybody else.
And so does Theo. I think Theo and Xander are quite similar in that respect. Like Theo's been really down this week, and it's not anything to do with his life, as far as I can tell. It's because he's worrying about Justin and Leah. And I think those two characters are very selfless. And I think with a lot of the characters in the show that are very self-centered, it becomes more obvious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
I saw.
Yeah, but are we overanalyzing?
We're probably overanalyzing, but also in the back of my mind, because that's what we do. We overanalyze. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking 3-year contract. And I'm thinking we're 2 years in with this fella.
Oh, is it? Yeah, is it three? No, it's two, isn't it?
He's not got long. I'm thinking, where's his story? He had a thruple. And his mate died.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know are big things. But
he had that affair with his mate's widow. And he's had several tattoos.
Well, I absolutely, the making of that character was putting him in salt. I absolutely love him in there.
He's really good, isn't he? He's really good in the social setting. He's really funny. I like the energy he's got when he's working with Mac. You know, them two together, they're really good.
Yeah.
You're right. What are they doing with the character? Where are they going with him?
Is he just going to fizzle out? Are we going to get something here? I don't know. I'm worried here now. And I'm starting to worry for him. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it all. Whether I'm thinking too much.
Right, Si, I'm shaking things up this week.
Oh?
Shaking it up. Are you scared?
A little bit. I like a plan. I'm a bit of a moniker. Go on.
Well, you have no reason to be scared, because actually it's quite a nice thing. I think you're going to like this. So let you in on a little secret, listeners. We're recording early this week, so we've watched ahead on the episodes, which means that right now, as we're talking, on whatever day it is that we're recording, because I don't know what day it is now, you guys haven't actually seen Leah lose her mind yet, but we have. Which I know. And we don't know what you think of it, and we're desperate to know what you think of it. We're dying to know what you think of it. So we will put a pin in that, and we will come back to that next week and get all your thoughts. So if you've got any thoughts about what's happening with Leah, do get them to us, and then we might read them out on next week's You'll Say on the Bay. But this week, I'm doing a one-off segment called We've Got Mail.
Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
I know, right? One of his own is the coffee shop, bookshop thing. I don't know. But anyway, we've got mail. We received a very lovely, very delightful email from a new listener this week. New listener is called Rose, not the Rose from Summer Bay.
Hi, Rose, not the Rose.
Hi, Rose. Rose from London. In fact, Rose from London confirmed that them there down in London say plaque, not plaque, as well.
Really?
So that was quite, yeah, because, you know, we had the recent conversation about the pronunciation of plaque on the show and how they kept saying plaque, and then Rose mentions in her email that she nearly laughed to death when you said plaque when we talked about it on the podcast.
So, oh dear,
you nearly killed a woman. You nearly killed her.
I know. I must be careful.
You must be careful. I mean, it's not the worst way to go, I guess, if you die laughing. But please don't die, Rose. Don't die. We you know, if anything, we need the listener numbers. You know, just, yeah, be careful. But no, thank you, Rose. Your email was really lovely. So this is a good point to remind people out there. If you want to email us, you're more than welcome to. It's coastalnewspod@gmail.com. We're also on social media. We're Coastal News Pod or Coastal News Podcast. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Twitter, etc. And most of you guys know this, but we do tweet along with the show when we watch it. And we watch at 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday on 5-star pace in the UK as well. So I'm going to read you some of the comments from Rose's email so we can react to it, if that's okay with you.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good. Oh, I love it.
I know, we've got mail. I'm making a big deal out of this because we don't get mail very often. So Rose says, I'm loving the podcast. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And I've been watching Home and Away since the very beginning. Gosh, 35 years. Can't believe I didn't know you about your podcast until recently. I know, where have you been? But thank you for turning up now. You know, welcome to
many
the family.
Many an episode to binge on, Rose. Many an episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
We recommend Stick Thing.
If there's a rainy day out there, fill your boots. And then I think this bit, because we've just ended the main ep on you know, how much we overthink about the show, I thought this was quite fitting, really, this next comment that Rose said. So Rose says, I love your take on things, how someone else finds the uniqueness of the bait amusing, and most importantly, how you speak of the characters as if they are real people. We do, don't we? We really do.
Oh yeah. Oh.
We really do. It's a very nice way of calling us a super fan weirdo, I think, which is what we call ourselves. Isn't it, really?
So, if you're not going to immerse, don't bother.
Exactly. You've got to embrace it. We know this isn't the coolest thing to talk about. We know this, you know, having a podcast about Home and Away isn't going to give us major, major cool points. But we embrace it. We love the show. We're not ashamed. It's a laugh. And it's just so nice to hear that you guys enjoy it as well. I think that's the main thing, isn't it? We do it for fun. You know, the fact that people do enjoy it is just... it's lovely, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, Rose has got a couple of opinions to share with us. Oh. So we talked about Dr. Levi last week, didn't we, on Your Sound the Bait and how people thought about him.
Didn't we just?
Yeah, we went through it all, didn't we? And somebody, I can't remember whose comment it was now, somebody likened him to, you know, Liam that went out with Bianca, the old rock star.
Liam. Yeah, yeah.
But Rose...
yeah, because I thought he was a bit more of a Remy. Didn't
yeah,
I?
You. Yeah, I think that's because he's a muso, isn't it? So that makes sense. But Rose thinks he actually looks like another doctor that used to be on the show, Nate. You know, that was played by Kyle, that went on to do Hollyoaks. I think he did next, didn't he?
Oh yeah, and Candles.
On Candles, yeah.
Oh yeah, Ricky and Nate.
Yeah.
Nate could never live up to Brax, Dr. Nate. Yeah. He was another one, loved a kayak.
He did. He had shoulders for days as well. Yeah. He did.
Are they like each other?
Fairly similar, I guess, aren't they, in terms of like that kind of facial structure and hair? And I think they could be quite similar looking, I think. Oh, yeah. I can see it.
Physically, yeah.
I can see the resemblance. I don't know about personality because we don't know what Levi's like yet, do we?
We're really getting a slow burn on Levi, aren't we? Yeah, I don't know what to make of him up to now. There's something going on with his sister. Nate was a very sort of, his morals were very sort of entrenched, weren't they?
Yes.
And Levi, you know, he's a doctor, he's doing work for the good, I suppose. There's similarities there as well.
Absolutely. I think Rose is thinking the same thing because she says Levi seems like a good egg because he's been a good doctor. He's been friendly with Dana, you know, all of her history about her being the drug nurse, you know, from the previous hospital. And Rose does say that, to be fair to him, he's, you know, he's a better doctor than Bree, who so far, in Rose's words, which made me laugh, has failed to deliver the outstanding medical heroism that we've come to expect from Northern District Hospital.
Absolutely.
We've been reminded of another doctor in this email as well. Remember Dr. Sid jumping out of helicopters, performed open surgery all over the bay, including brain surgery, saved a resident.
Sid Walker and Dex and Indy.
Didn't
Sid end up going to the Flying Doctors? Is that how he left?
He did, yeah, and that's where he went, wasn't it? Yeah.
We've missed so many years, Sophie.
I know. Imagine if we had a podcast for the whole thing.
This is criminal. We didn't know each other.
I know, it's crazy. Well, we're making up for it now, aren't we? So
aren't we just?
It's all good. And then one of the lines that I really like in this email is when Rose says, I'm totally in agreement with you, Sophie. I love it when people say this. it never happens in real life. So when it happens on here, I'm like, someone agrees with me, yes. So Rose says, what Flick did was terrible, and I found Tani to be manipulative from the start, making her get married, buy the land, and then try for a baby. I can't believe other people can't see this. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's been quite a lot of chit-chat on your Say on the Bay, hasn't there, the last few months, weeks, Camp Tani and Camp Flick, and one can't see why the other sees it that way. So she can't see why others can't see. We've said it on it.
I know.
She agrees with you. I mean, did I agree with you? I can't remember.
I think I normally talk you around, but it's only over on Home and Away that people agree with me. You know, in general, in real life, I get told, no, that's not right. So I have to laugh it up when I get it. Mm. It's great.
I think there are elements of this big Tani Felicity bust up.
Mm.
They're both making mistakes, is where I'm at.
Yes.
But Teflon Tani, like nothing, for some reason, a lot of the audience, when you look online, don't seem to see it from her perspective, and that baffles me a little bit.
Yeah,
so I do sort of agree with that.
Yeah, and actually, Rose brings up another point. She says it's hurtful that no one's told him off for him shagging around while they're still legally married. He deserves a punch from Cash.
Oh, so, my God!
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, because she hasn't done that.
No.
He's gone out and committed adultery.
Are people justifying it? Are people saying that he's getting away with it because of what she did? Like, oh, you can't blame him. You can't. You know, like, it's not like they've split up amicably, or they split up because he did something wrong, or, you know what I mean? Everyone's blaming Flick for the breakup, and maybe that's why they're sort of saying, well, you can't blame him because she did that to him. And it's like a tit for tat thing. I don't know. I still think
I think it boils down to Tani being very popular.
Yes. Yeah. And Flick's a bit of a Marmite character. We talked about that for a number of these You'll Sell on the Bay, haven't we, in the past?
And I think people can't see the wood from the trees when they just completely love a character.
Yeah. Or completely not like them.
They'll defend them to high heaven. Yeah.
And then crucify the one they don't like. Yeah. Yeah, it could be that. It could be. Oh, well, thank you for your email, Rose. Honestly, it made our week.
Thank you.
We just love it. Anyone that's a fan of our little podcast, you know, when you show us any support, you know, liking us, subscribing to the podcast, listening, you know, messaging us saying that you listened and you agree with us or you disagree with us or whatever your comment is, we just love hearing from you. It's so nice to hear that, you know, it's odd in a way because we always think that it's just us two, you know, having a chat. And then it's really strange to think that anyone else is actually bothering to listen to us waffle on, but it's so sweet when you do. So we really
I know it. It bursts the bubble, doesn't it, of like people, you know, and we're doing this, we're fans of the show and we're doing it for the fans, so thanks so much for taking your time to to message in. We really appreciate it. And it's just we want it. This is what we want. We want to speak to people about this show.
Yeah. That's how you and I got talking, isn't it? Because you were tweeting and doing the podcast on your own, and I got talking to you because I was like, oh, finally someone I can talk to about all this stuff, because I don't have that, you know, just me and the dog watching the show. And that's how we made friends, isn't it? So, you guys out there, if you're sitting on your sofa watching it on your own, talking to the dog or the cat or whoever, you know, or partner that just doesn't really care because they're not really listening. If they're not interested in your thoughts, come and tell your thoughts to us, because we are, aren't we?
Tell us. Yeah, absolutely. Tell us.
Yeah.